Hello and welcome to the Wabi Sabi series podcast, unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, a corporate exec turned author who has recently written a series of books about topics we don't often talk about. Things like death, grief, not having kids, and the unexplained power doctors often wield over us. Apparently, some of my books have made some people feel a little uncomfortable, but I felt that I wanted to have far more conversations around weird, wonderful, and sometimes taboo topics. So I reached out to some interesting people and asked them just one question. If there is one topic that you'd love society to talk more about, what would it be and why? And what they've shared with me has been amazing. So let's dive in and see where the conversation takes us.
As you know, as an entrepreneur, you have ups and downs. And what you can do is you get yourself into that negative downward spiral. And you keep thinking these negative thoughts, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, and I don't know how I'm going to make this happen.
Julie Dempsey is a certified clinical hypnotherapist, transformational coach, and business leader who has spent her career helping individuals and organizations grow and thrive. She understands firsthand the challenges faced by both entrepreneurs and corporations, having come to Australia from the Silicon Valley, where she held leadership positions with various large companies and startups. Her unique combination of skills has made Julie a sought-after speaker, facilitator, mentor, and advisor for the Australian business community. Julie is passionate about working with people, groups, and organisations to adapt their mindset for greater personal satisfaction and professional success. I am thrilled to be talking to you today, Julie. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here with you.
Now, as a transformational coach and hypnotherapist, my mind is buzzing with curiosity. So I'm really looking forward to our chat. So let's kick it off. If there is one thing you wish we'd talk more about, what would it be?
Well, it would be our self-talk and the fact that we need to be more positive in our self-talk.
Yeah, right. So what does that mean when you talk about self-talk? It's like the voice in your head? Or?
Exactly. So people actually have about 60,000 thoughts per day.
Wow.
And about 80% of those are negative thoughts and often negative looping thoughts. So when you're thinking about that and that's driving your day and how you're feeling about yourself, it doesn't take you to a very good place. Mm. But we've not actually been taught how to think about ourselves positively, right? If you think back to when you were a child, do you remember your mom or dad ever saying to you, make sure, Michelle, that you say nice things about yourself. When you're thinking in your head, say these nice things. And if you go back to your early memories in childhood, you remember, don't do that. You're being bad. I'm going to have to punish you. And if these are the things you're hearing and you're taking in all the time, that's what starts going through your mind. And before you know it, that's how we get to these numbers of negative thoughts, mm-hmm. right? But what we are taught is to be nice to other people, mm-hmm. say nice things to them. When I give talks, I like to speak with the audience and say, okay, turn to the person next to you. And would you turn to that person and say, you look really crappy today. You know what? You don't look like you're very smart. I don't think you're going to accomplish the things you want to. Your butt looks really big in those jeans. You're having a really bad hair day. Nobody's going to ever love you. And everybody looks at me and says, what are you saying? I said, okay, would you say that to the stranger that you're sitting next to? And they say, no, of course not. But we say these things to ourselves.
Yeah, every day, all day, right?
And why, right? So we've been conditioned that it's okay to say these things. Nobody's told us we shouldn't be. And what happens is the way our minds work, we're drawn to what we think. The pictures and words that we tell ourselves are what we're drawn towards. Mm-hmm. Our brain likes what's familiar. And when we start making those negative words familiar, that's where our day starts going. That's how we start feeling. You talk to somebody who's dealing with anxiety and stress and even depression, they've got a million of these thoughts going through their head at a time.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, not to say that it's a woman or, you know, a sexism sort of a problem, I guess, or an issue that's pertaining to a certain sex. But I would say that most of my mates and conversations about this sort of stuff that I've had, it is women tend to be harder on ourselves. And I'm curious on your thoughts of that, of whether there is the physical kind of beating up, and whether women are harder on ourselves physically, and whether the, you know, men are harder on themselves in other ways. I don't know if you've ever sort of seen any research in that space.
I haven't seen any research there, but I can tell you anecdotally from dealing with clients and working with them, it is rampant across men and women. We just handle it or deal with it differently, or we're more open about it, right? So you might have a man who's worried about his appearance. My hair is thinning. I'm getting a big belly. I'm not where I used to be. But he's probably not out talking with his mates about it. He's internalizing that, right? So that's why it's so important as a topic to talk about this. We need to make people aware. And the more we can talk about this with each other and realize these are the thoughts we're having and everybody has them, let's make it not okay to have these thoughts. Let's start teaching people how to have the positive thoughts about ourselves. Because when we're having more of those, that really drives our day. So think about elite athletes. Do they get onto the court or whatever it is saying, I'm not going to win today? No, they're getting pumped up saying, I'm going to win. I can do this. I can make this happen. And your mind drives you towards what you're thinking.
And it's kind of that visualization, I guess, because I was an elite athlete when I was younger, and we used to learn to do a lot of visualization. So it was imagining, you know, a netballer. So imagining you're on the court and, you know, you've got that winning pass, or you've intercepted something, or, you know, imagine the last goal going in and you've won the tournament, or, you know, all those kind of visual elements. So it makes sense to me, that example of using, you know, an elite athlete in the same way. You just don't put that negative stuff in your head, right? So, yeah, why do we do it in everyday life is your point, yeah?
Exactly, because nobody's told us not to. And it comes naturally, right? That's kind of how we've been conditioned. And you watch movies and you look at the media and the messages that they're giving us, and it reinforces those questions we have about ourselves. So you hear people talking about gratitude and gratitude journals, and a lot of people go, oh, that's so overplayed. But the reality is, if you're thinking about things you're grateful every day, you're training your mind to have more of these positive thoughts. So you think about people getting up during the day, and what I work with my clients on is I like to say to them, instead of getting up in the morning and thinking, ugh, I have all these things I need to accomplish. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm stressed out about having to have this conversation. And you're playing out in your mind the things you don't want to do and the things that you're not feeling strong about. So I like to say, instead of doing that, when you get up in the morning, think about five things that you've done well recently. And that's putting the positive thoughts in your mind, right? And then that's preparing you to have a positive day, not just in your actions, but what you're looking out for and what you're thinking about already.
Yeah, and isn't there, I literally heard something, I think not yesterday, the day before, around, you know, your brainwave state. So when you're in deep sleep, so it's a delta state, which is your brain being at its most restful. And then when you first wake up, I think it's theta state, and you've got 8 minutes of when you sort of come out of delta into theta, and it's such a vital time for you to actually really mold and set yourself up for the day. And so this particular person speaking around this, she's amazing in space, and she sort of talks about a lot of, you know, neuroplasticity and stuff. And she said, like, most of us grab our phones and we start scrolling through and we look at the weather, or we read the news, or we, you know, look at socials, and that's setting us up for that negativity. She's like, own that 8 minutes, if nothing else, own that first 8 minutes of your day and control that, and you'll find it'll actually make a real impact. So I think, you know, that sort of messaging that you're giving is fabulous sort of connection with that.
Absolutely. It's the same exact thing. Start setting ourselves up for success, thinking about things we've done well in the recent past.
If you have a topic burning inside you that you'd love to talk more about and have a conversation with me, I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line at hello@wabisabiseries.com. Let's head back to the chat. So how do you help people? Is this the sort of stuff, I mean, with because coaching, I think most people kind of know what coaching is, but some people don't. So that might be interesting to sort of touch on a little bit, but I really want to get into the hypnotherapy because that just fascinates me. In a coaching sense, is this, you know, I mean, you're doing lots of different things for people, aren't you? And you've got a couple of companies that you do in this space. You've got your own business and a new business that you've just started.
Yeah. So I run my own business doing hypnotherapy and coaching with individuals and sometimes with groups, and have just set up with a partner a new business called Found Coaching, where we're looking to work with larger organizations and companies or organizations that are supporting financially a lot of smaller companies. Because what happens is you get out into business and there are all these reasons we do well or we can fail. But the number one thing is people get in their own way with their mindset. Mm. So you can give a company all the money in the world, and if they don't actually have the tools, if they're coming into work every day going, I don't know how I'm going to do this, I don't know how to make this happen, I can't actually envision myself building this company, even though I really want to, I suck at this, so-and-so didn't call me back. And, you know, as you know, as an entrepreneur, you have ups and downs. And what you can do is you get yourself into that negative downward spiral. And you keep thinking these negative thoughts, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, and I don't know how I'm going to make this happen. So from a coaching standpoint, it's even just shifting small words that we're using every day about how we're going to focus. If we take this to a real life example everyone can think about, if you think about weight, most people want to take off a few pounds or kilos. And how do we talk about that? We say we'd like to
lose.
Exactly. And what happens when you lose something? What do you want to do?
You usually want to find it.
Exactly. Yeah. So people yo-yo with their weight because they lose it. And you don't think about it. And it's just a subtle shift. Mm. So if you talk about reducing your weight or taking it off or something that's more permanent and not something you're going to want to find again, that shifts your thinking about it. So if we think about, I don't want to fail, what happens is our brain sticks on fail.
Yeah.
It's thinking fail, 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 as opposed to thinking I want to succeed, right? I don't want to fail and I want to succeed are very similar, but it's telling our brain different things.
Because it can't differentiate, can it? Like your subconscious can't differentiate between that.
Exactly. And so it's just working with people on a regular basis. You'd be surprised in a short conversation how many times I'll actually help somebody to revise the vocabulary they're using about things. But when we get into hypnotherapy, that's getting even deeper.
So just a further thing on the coaching, because I've had coaching before in my career and I can absolutely, you know, like it was significant for me. I'd be interested to hear your view on in terms of the types of people that seek coaching. One, some people think it's, you know, it's super expensive, so I can't afford it. Some people view it as like mentorship. And so for me, it was one of my big executive jobs that I took, and the company provided a coach for the first sort of 3 months that I was in that role, heading up the, you know, MD for the Asia Pacific sort of region. And it was invaluable. It was, you know, real meaty conversations about issues I was having in business particularly. And some of them crossed into personal stuff because a lot of it is kind of, you know, it blends, doesn't it? You can't really have a delineation between them. But I could have that, you know, confidence with this person that I couldn't have that conversation with my boss or the, you know, the head of the business or whatever, and really helped shift, you know, that confidence factor, I think, again, as a, you know, as a high level leader of a business, but still there were, I had a lot of self-doubt about particular elements. So yeah, describe to me the type of person that coaching could help.
I love how you describe that, because I would describe myself as a coach as somebody who's going to be your biggest cheerleader and your safe space to be able to say anything. So it's any kind of person at any level of business, really. Right? Because we all need that support along our career to help us move along. And like you said, it spills over into life because it's really all one and the same. But I'm there to help guide you through any kind of conversation you need to have, to give you that confidence, to help point out where some blind spots might be, and to be able to voice things that you're not comfortable saying to anyone else. Like you said, you want to go in and you want to impress your boss. So you don't want to go in and say, I don't really know how to tackle this problem, but I'm there as your trusted confidant that you can talk through all of that with and really get to a place where you're comfortable with not only what you want to do, but how you want to frame that conversation or reframe it to have it in a more positive way that's going to get you the outcome that you're looking for, whether that's in business or that's in life with friends, family, loved ones. It's just nice to have that person who really knows who you are and is always looking out for the best. For everything is all about what do you need to get to where you want to go and helping support you in getting there. It's really, you know, a nice sounding board as well as a comforting place. And again, when we're talking about the thoughts that we're having, if we're clouding those in our mind and we're not able to get them out, they really start to fester, right? So just by voicing them sometimes, you get to a point where you start to feel better and you start to have some clarity because you're actually making more space for that positivity then when you get it all out.
The interesting thing is, and all that I love, and I used to love that about my coach as well, but one of the things I think that not to be, you know, misguided on is that he happened to be a male. He was tough on me as well. And, you know, we had really tough conversations. So as much as he was a cheerleader and I could bounce off, there, you know, a really good coach also can kind of highlight, you know, show you things where your blind spots are and kind of go, no, 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 you're being a little bit delusional there, or actually, you know, the whole tough love, I think, as well. And I think that's important, right?
You're doing somebody a disservice.
Correct. Yeah.
And so it's funny you use the term tough love because that's actually what I say. I'll say, okay, we're going to step into a little tough love here right now.
Yeah.
Because that is so important. People wouldn't be coming to see me if they didn't want to continue to improve and reach their full potential. And I can't help somebody improve if I'm just their cheerleader all the time without helping them see the reality of the matter and where things are at.
I agree.
Years ago, I had an employee who worked for me and she used to always congratulate her team, even when they did poorly. And I tried to help her understand, you're actually doing them a disservice because they don't know the difference from what they're doing right or what they're doing wrong. And you need to be able to get to a point where you can have that tough love that adds so much more value than false praise.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because there's coaches everywhere these days. And as I say, I see a huge value in having a coach. And again, maybe it's my, you know, being an athlete, it just makes sense to me, to someone to guide you. You know, they're an expert in their field and they can, you know, guide and help you see things that you don't see about yourself. But why do you think there is such a massive sort of increase in coaches these days?
Because the world's getting tougher and tougher out there, right? And we need that level of support. If you talk to people who deal in relationships, I don't know if you're familiar with Esther Perel. She's gold.
Fabulous.
And she says, you can't have your partner can't be everything to you.
Yeah, so just for people to know, so she wrote the book Mating in Captivity. She actually has a great podcast. She's a relationship therapist, but very much concentrates on like a sex therapist, I guess, in some ways as well, doesn't she? You know, really gets into the nitty gritty of stuff to kind of call out those kind of complexities in human relationships.
Yeah, and just helping people to really understand, again, you can't be everything to your partner.
Yeah.
You've got to figure out how to have that balance of comfort along with that sexuality and that raw sexual energy. How do you have both at the same time?
I like that.
You know, if you look at something like that, and you can't expect your partner to be everything. You can't expect anyone in your life. And for the most part, if you think about it, different people put their lens on things, right? And there's a certain give and take and needs that everyone has. So people are looking out for their self-interest to a certain degree. But a coach is there only looking out for your self-interest. They set their needs aside, right? It's all about the client. And so you are getting that real raw support that you can't get anywhere else.
I love that.
And high-level executives, where do you go?
No, and it's tough at the top. I think people don't realize that you don't have anyone you can confide in. And, you know, you have self-doubt, and back to your point, and you know, there's complexity of problems, especially, I mean, given, you know, what businesses are going through at the moment with COVID and all, you know, the completely blown up world that we're in now, you need someone to bounce off. So it's a lovely option. I'm conscious that I want to get into the hypnotherapy stuff and we're going to run out of time. So that's beautiful in the coaching and we'll come back to that at the end. Tell me about hypnotherapy, because I do a lot of meditation and the way I've had hypnotherapy before, and I've done a lot of regression therapy as well, which I've talked about in my books and different things. So the way I would describe hypnotherapy when people ask me, it's almost like a deep meditation that is guided. And because people go, do you do crazy things? Do they make you do shit that you don't want to do? I'm like, no, it's not like that. But I would love, how do you describe it for people?
So hypnotherapy is allowing you to tap into your subconscious mind to to get to the root cause of anything you're facing that you want to solve. And it is very much like a meditation. When I talk to my clients and they're sitting there, I'm about to count them down into a hypnotic state. I say, really what it feels like is that you're sitting there with your eyes closed talking to me. It doesn't feel any different. I actually had one client once say, I don't think I'm hypnotized. And I said, okay, let's just keep talking. And at the end of the 2-hour session, she said, see, I wasn't hypnotized. I mean, that was really fast too. That was like 20 minutes. And I said, no, that was actually 2 hours, wow. Right? So you allow your conscious mind to step aside and your subconscious to come out. And that's where all of this information is stored that we don't have regular access to. So my clients are all really smart people. If they could do this on their own, they would. I've done hypnotherapy had hypnotherapy myself. If I could make these shifts on my own, I could. But we're not able to regularly access the things we're storing in our subconscious to find out, what is the root cause of my anxiety? What is the root cause of my overeating? What is the root cause of not believing in myself or having the confidence?
That lack of self-love, right?
Yeah. But there's very specific instances that we go back to, right? And we're able to look at those and look at where it started, and then we reframe all of that and shift the beliefs. And then I leave my clients with a bespoke recording that they listen to every day for 30 days after the session that ties into everything that we spoke about in the session in a positive manner. So if we got into anything that was, negative stories that happened in the past, that's left in the past. We only have the positive in the recording because that's how we're trying to train and retrain our neural pathways to come up to a point where we can have that level of confidence, that level of self-belief, that level of self-love, that understanding that we are deserving of a relationship or the right job and the right life.
It's interesting, I mean, because obviously this sort of stuff's existed for so long and some people still feel it's woo-woo. How do you kind of combat that? Because I'm a very pragmatic person and you know, have that kind of mathematical brain thing as well. So I've always looked at this stuff when I've gone through it and gone, it works for me, but I don't really understand why. And over the years, as the things like the neuroplasticity and the different research that's come forward and around brainwave state, that makes more sense to me because then I know, okay, now I get it. How do you combat that when people go, it's a load of bullshit? You know, like how can you actually hypnotize someone and how can you change their thinking just by chatting to them?
I actually don't try and combat that because if they're not ready, they're not going to make the change.
Very cool.
And there's plenty of people out there that are, and I want to help the ones who really want to be helped and are ready.
I like that. That's good. Yeah.
But, I would say to that, try it and see. When I did my studies, the person who developed the format that I use, she would say, every time I go in and I see a client, I am just amazed and excited all over again. And I thought, that's such utter bullshit. That's not true. And now that I'm doing it myself, I'm having the same experience because every person that I work with gets to a level where they're seeing something that they've been trying to get to, that they haven't been able to get to on their own, completely clear it, and come out feeling lighter and better immediately.
Amazing.
We even talk about this thing called the hypnotherapy facelift, because you come out of a session and you've relieved so much that you've been holding in and not been able to access. Very often people look lighter, younger, happier. A client that I saw today just said to me, she said, I feel the smile on my face and I can't remember the last time. It's been years and years since I felt that.
Wow. How lovely though that you that must feel amazing as, you're impacting someone so significantly. What a gorgeous job.
It's a complete privilege and an honor. And I absolutely love the words that people say when they come out of session and seeing how they're feeling. And it's work they're doing, right? You've got to do the work yourself. I can't do it for you. I just help guide.
And so in terms of coming back to the negative self-talk and stuff, because, coaching and hypnotherapy is such a, fantastic tools and therapists you can see, I'd sort of love to end with any particular tips or tricks that people can actually really apply on a daily basis. You talked about the sort of, starting your day and reframing things.
Yeah.
But anything you would say to someone to say, actually, there's a couple of clear little things that you can do that will make a difference, and how to stop that negative self-talk and, you know, kind of boost yourself up a little bit more.
Absolutely. So I talked about starting your day. I'd also like to talk about finishing your day. So at the end of the day, how many people go and look at their checklist and say, oh, here are all the things I didn't do? So you're bringing yourself right back into that negative state and setting yourself up to feel bad about yourself. So instead of looking at your list and saying, here are the things I didn't do, look at yourself and congratulate yourself for the things you actually did do. And even if those things weren't on your list, very often you feel like, oh, I accomplished nothing today, nothing on my list, all these other things came up. So instead of thinking about that, think about the fact that you're smart enough to have realized that more important things came up today that you needed to handle, and you took care of those.
Love that.
So that's a good thing to do. It's also noticing the words that you're saying to yourself. Start catching yourself. So when you have a negative thought, really notice and then ask yourself, is it true? The likelihood is it isn't. Find proof points that it's not true. And then substitute in more positive words. So if you're saying, I don't want to be like this, instead think about how do I want to be? So that you're giving your brain those positive words and those positive affirmations and training it to see the positive, because your brain likes what's familiar. That's why when you go to buy a new car and all of a sudden you're buying, you know, a blue Mazda and all you see are blue Mazdas. It's the same thing with your words. The more you can have positive words, the more your brain gets trained to see that, the more it sees the positivity and the easier it is for you to take that positive action.
I love that. Just such a beautiful, simple thing for free that we can all do. It doesn't take a lot of thought, time, or effort, really. So there's no excuse for us to try and impact that. And thank you for Julie Dempsey to change our world and make us more positive. So that's it's been a delight to talk to you today. Thank you very much for being here on the podcast with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
If you'd like to learn more about today's guest, you'll find all the show notes and interesting links on our website, wabisabiseries.com. If you'd like to hear more unexpected conversations, please subscribe to the series, follow us on our socials, or grab one of my books. And if you're in a generous mood, I'd love you to share the episode, or maybe even rate, review, and comment on the series. It really does make a difference. Until next time, be sure to claim your own piece of wabi-sabi and walk proud in your perfect imperfection.